There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday edition of the show. As we get started here, this story been unfolding over the last hour and a half or so. At least five soldiers have been shot at Fort Stewart in Georgia, the military base there. This is from News Nation. Five shot today, Fort Stewart in Hinesville, Georgia. Army spokesperson confirmed that five people were shot, four treated at the on-base hospital. One was taken to a level one trauma center. They've updated some of this story since then. Portion of Fort Stewart put on lockdown today, home to the 2nd Army Brigade. They were told to stay inside, close and lock all windows and doors. Also, local schools and the Appling County School System and Liberty County put on lockdown. FBI's Atlanta field office assisting with the response as needed. And this is obviously a story that is unfolding as we're doing the show today. But yeah, the 3rd Infantry Division stationed at Fort Stewart, Georgia. And there's, I looked on social media, saw one person has some connection with family members there. I think their person is fine, the last thing I saw, but it is going on, and we'll pass along information as it comes out. But once again, five soldiers shot at Fort Stewart there in Georgia, and they got the shooter now in custody. All right, with that, bring on my friend and valuable guest host, musician, a film guy, and also pretty smart writer as well. It's my friend Cameron Smith joining us now. Hey, and thanks for filling in last week.
I love the water people, and it's always a thrill to be able to host and connect with everybody for a while. So thank you.
All right. Speaking of which, too, I'm going to send you, there's a, because Cameron comes down here, he likes like we do to go snapper fishing. There's a story out, the snapper fishing, that they're moving in the Senate to pass a bill to stop poaching a red snapper. So you've got, we got our rules that you've dealt with when you fish with me, but then we got people coming in from other countries, taking a snapper from here. That's something we want to put an embargo on.
Yeah, we need to regulate the dolphins too, because when you catch one and have to throw it back and they eat it, that seems really unfair.
It does, but they got their own lobbying group. You know, that's a problem. They're big
and they're cute. Cute dolphins. I mean, yep. You know, but they're jerks. Let's be honest. A lot of them are jerks. Not all of them, but a lot of them.
Do you think if we're comparing things, that when you go snapper fishing with me, they give us problems there? Sharks not cute. They don't get as much good press. Dolphins cute. They're like the Eddie Haskell of marine life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I see it, and they're just like, hey, you're going to throw that one back? Well, yeah, I have to legally. And they're just like, okay. Well, we'll make sure that we eat it in front of you. They don't wait. Like, at least let it go down a little bit. Don't just skim it right off the top and smile at me.
Well, sometimes they follow it down and you know what's getting ready. You don't even see it, but you know what's getting ready to happen.
Yes, absolutely. And I hate it for those fish. I hate it more for the fact that the dolphin gets to eat it instead of me.
Right. With that, a lot to get into. I had a list of things, but then the story coming up, yesterday, about the subpoena for Jeff Sessions, and somebody that I know and you know quite well. Have you followed this and your thoughts on this? The Congressional Committee sending Jeff Sessions a subpoena here to be deposed in the Epstein case.
Yeah, I saw the headlines, and that looks interesting to me. I don't know exactly what we're looking for here. That's what I'm trying to understand is I guess it's the non-prosecution agreement with Mr. Epstein.
Yeah.
And some of those things. But this feels a lot like, to me, hand-waving. That a lot of the stuff we're trying to do is, you know, for sort of like petitioning the judge to release the grand jury testimony, which I believe was denied. It's you have files on this in your possession presently, executive branch, and you can release them if you choose to do so. But it seems like this is, let's do some hand waving, ask some people some questions, and not actually do the thing, because Thomas Massie's going to force a discharge petition on his legislation to release these files. And my guess is that's successful. And, you know, I just don't see any of this stuff really circumventing that reality.
Timeline on this is interesting to me. So you've got, what, so this is supposed to be later this month. I think I don't have it in front of me right now, but like the 20-something of the month is the deposition here. And when would Massie?
It is 28th, August 28th.
Okay, so 28th. And when would, I mean, this would happen preceding that from Massie, right?
Yes, it seems like the Massie vote, as far as when the House comes back, will be after that, or the timing for the vote will be after that. And so this is what it seems like to me is, hey, look, we're doing a thing because, and members of the Republican Party have been pretty clear about this, that they're trying to give Trump cover on this. I just don't think it's going to work because the base is just, you promise transparency, deliver transparency, and they keep not doing that.
Okay, and I wonder about that. I saw some stuff you had put up on Twitter, and yeah, the, hey, who's, I think it's Mark Levin or something, but it's the, who's still talking about the Epstein case? If you're doing that, then you're distracting, here's the quote. For those of you obsessed with the Epstein case, you are the ones distracting us from the Obama-Hillary case. I don't know what your endgame is, but I know what my endgame is here, and that is justice. The people that are into the Epstein case are about justice as well. And can you not walk and chew gum here? I saw that. Obviously, that stood out to you as well.
Yeah, well, I'm just not going to, and you're the same way. I will not carry the water of the party in power. I will not just, oh, this is what you prefer. That's what I, as a member of the public and the press that's looking at this critically, I just won't do that for you. Like, I understand your preferences, but I also understand that this is about holding the rich and powerful accountable. And the reticence here is ridiculous. I mean, let's just call it what it is. And then to say, hey, if you want access, if you want to be able to talk to us, we need you to carry the water on this and say, hey, we need to move on. And you see the pundits that are doing that. They're your sort of bigger name, you know, folks that they don't really have a reason for it other than, hey, if you don't do the thing, then you're bad. And I don't care. I'm not going to play that game.
But to me, the fruit was hanging lower on this one, even, because this is the idea that if you want to push on this and you're interested in this Epstein stuff, then you can't also be interested in, you know, the revelations here from DNI Gabbard, right? And what's going on? I say, hey, I'm able to do a lot of things. I could be interested in both stories. And it seems like there's some of these pundits come out and say, well, if you're interested in that story, what Gabbard comes out, and you need to drop this Epstein thing and focus on that. I'm not 7 years old, y'all. I can handle myself.
Yeah, and this is the kind of like pissing in my ear and telling me it's raining stuff that I hate. Right. Like, you know, you're acting like I'm a child that I can't figure this out, and I'm not a conspiracy guy. You know that. I don't want to push conspiracies. And you know what fixes that? Transparency. There's not a better solution. If you don't want people talking about the thing, just say, hey, here's all we got. It's not exciting. There you go. And the idea that transparency leads to more conspiracy is just stupid. And we got to stop stupid, because it's leading to a lot of unintended consequences. And when you've got Democrats and Republicans on the same page on this, to me, the Epstein transparency issue is like immigration. It's like an 80% issue that the public says, we want transparency. Well, we want immigration enforcement. It's the same, yet the administration is like, hey, can y'all like wave your hands and do some stuff that makes it look like we're doing stuff, but not the thing people want.
Yeah, kind of by the definition, right? The definition of populism. One of the things that I told folks, I'm not a populist. I'm a conservative, and populism sometimes leaves me outside, you know, outside the aisles, because it changes. It's not always based on one thought process. It's just whatever's convenient. Well, you said it, the way immigration's at 80%, you know, American people are engaged in it. The Epstein is too. If you're truly just doing populism right, this thing would be a juggernaut for you, right? I mean, this you run this and you run some immigration. You got people siding with you all right and left. So I don't know why very populist-minded Donald Trump is, and I'm not saying that rhetorically, I really don't. I don't know why. People have ideas, but why they're trying to stuff this back in the bag.
Yeah, well, this is the problem, Sean, is that, you know, you can conjecture. You can come up with all kinds of reasons. This is how we have weird conspiracies. You know what solves that? Transparency. I mean, we come back to the same point every time, and so there's no excuse for it. And the idea, if I hear one more time, well, Trump's playing 5D chess, and you just don't understand. Well, that's an appeal to ignorance. It's basically like, we're too stupid to know what the benevolent leader is doing, and therefore we can't question it. That's insane. I'm an American. I'll never do that.
Yeah, and it does. It leaves it, I mean, it leaves it open maybe for the sport of speculation, but that's not good for a republic. We need facts.
So, well, and I mean, you're talking about, I mean, not a populist, and you know that I'm kind of in the same bin, and, you know, along those lines, I noted yesterday the GOP, from their official account, tweeting out about government revenue and how proud they were of it. And at that point,
I saw that.
You guys nuts? Like, do you remember when we were like individual liberty, limited government, and you were literally bragging about government revenue in the context of tariffs, but bragging about government revenue? Like, somebody should take away the social media account of the GOP, take the intern who has never understood the idea of like limited government away from that, and realize that's going to lose a lot of us. We're certainly not going to go to the Democratic Party, but the idea of I support a party that cheers government revenue is not going to be a thing.
Yeah, and the other problem here, too, is that we didn't even get to talk about it last week with everything going on, but here we go again with the discussion of a rebate check over this. It's like, I would say, okay, if you're gonna say, hey, we got this revenue coming in, if you put on the line and we're putting this all towards debt, then maybe you have, you know, you get me a little warm and fuzzy from me. But to do that, we got all this revenue coming in and we're gonna send checks back out. No, do we not get how we got to here in the first place?
Well, we've still proven we did a lot of things, and none of it bent the cost curve, Sean. We're still spending like we're drunk. And, you know, I wouldn't support it. If you brag about your government revenue and say we're using it to pay off the debt, I'm going to laugh at you and say, why don't you just stop spending, you dummy? And the answer is, well, we're not going to do that. But, hey, look, we took more revenue from the private sector. Look at us. And that's the things that Democrats do. And we have lost our dang mind, Sean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. As we try to rewrite that tweet out there, I mean, you could have come out and said, hey, the president's tariffs are working because the following list of companies that have onshore jobs that weren't here before, yes, and started production, then you could, I think that would be a tastier way to do it.
Yeah, you could say, hey, we're cutting these deals that are bringing manufacturing back to America. Like, okay, I still don't like tariffs, but at least I can play ball with that. When you're like, we're functionally bragging about a tax increase. And I know that's hard for people to hear, but the tariffs, and where I've been wrong is the tariffs have been, for now, swallowed by companies. Mm-hmm. And eventually, those companies are going to stop that and say, oh, they're here to stay. We're passing it on to consumers. So in the best case, you're bragging about a corporate tax right now. In the worst case, you're bragging about a tax on consumers.
Well, okay. Which one, if you're bragging about a corporate tax, that may make it tough for fundraising, but that'll probably get you reelected more than tax on
sure.
people, you know?
And, I mean, yeah. And that's the this is the Democratic mantra of we need corporations to pay their fair share. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's, you know, so when we're like, oh, soak the corporations. Well, guess what? A lot of those corporations are, you know, businesses. You know, you kind of go down. Like, how, when do we stop soaking? Is it just, you know, C-Corps or how about LLCs? Like, what size corporation? And my point is, what's happening here is not soaking. Now, don't get me wrong. Ford got soaked to the tune of $800 million.
Mm-hmm.
So the big guys are getting soaked. But it's also folks that are, like, making knives. Like, I saw the knife guy on social media where he was bragging about, well, hey, there won't be any increase in cost here because I'm American made. And then he realized his machine tools and everything were getting tariffed. And he wasn't so happy.
You speak in the Ford thing, and we're going to run out of time, but I've told folks in the past, it's been a couple months ago maybe, Wall Street Journal, which is decidedly going to be editorial style against tariffs, so y'all know where it's coming from. But sure. They did a piece, they did a piece, though, that looked at Ford trucks. I drive a Ford truck, and I learned a lot there because I guess I thought the tariffs were a one-step thing. You make something, you bring it to the United States. They went through the F-150, made in Missouri, like the sticker on my truck. I think that's cool. But that showed, like, not only the import cost tariffs, and once again, I'm not decidedly completely against the tariffs. I have a nuanced view on it. But I didn't realize the number of things that come, like, out of Mexico into the United States, and they do something to it. I don't know. They shake it around. They send it to Canada, they shake it around, do something else, and then it comes back to the plant in Missouri. It's like 2 and 3 times it's getting it across the border. That was a learning thing for me.
Yeah, well, it's called the global supply chain. It's a relatively new concept. Well,
no, I get that part, but I didn't realize it bounced like it came like here in the North American continent, that it came something that's going to end up at that Ford plant in Missouri. It comes out of Mexico, comes in the United States to travel to Canada to have something else done to it to travel back into the United States. I guess that second leg is what I was ignorant to.
Yeah, and the way I look at this is we're having specialization of different places. It's the most efficient place to make the thing. And so they can actually make it more efficiently by doing all of that logistics work that you're talking about than building one massive factory here in the United States. And that's a business call. Again, if you want to shift everything here and say, you must do this, guess what? You're going to need Congress because you're not going to have the ability to, you're probably going to get these tariffs struck down legally, and you're going to need Congress to say, hey, these tariffs are here to stay. We got your back, Trump, and now we're going to expect people to build stuff in the United States from beginning to end.
I need them to get these all these trade deals done using the threat of that, and then get those things, get them equaled out, and go back to normal. Let's hope it works that way.
Yeah. I'm free markets, and I want those trade barriers down all the way around.
Good stuff. People want to check out, of course, your thoughts on these stories and more. They can read your writing. And also, where's a repository for Wasted Bacon, which I enjoyed on my vacation, by the way. Enjoyed listening to shared Wasted Bacon with the crew I was traveling with.
If you haven't checked out Wasted Bacon, y'all are missing out. You can search for that anywhere you stream music. Find me on the X Machine at D. Cameron Smith. And, hey, join the conversation.
Always a great conversation with our buddy. And my buddy Cameron Smith will be coming right back. Grab your text at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 1227 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Wednesday edition of the show. By the way, David, I saw that. David said, I didn't realize Cameron was anti-flipper. Cameron had, I think I was part of, I like all the critters, right? But he had some tough times, you know, watching Snapper. I made him turn back, getting eaten by Flipper. And they're smart enough to follow you from place to place, right? The old, he said, well, I said, we'll move to another spot. And we get to the other spot. And he's like, well, there's dolphins here. I said, man, they're everywhere. Michael said, I always go back and forth whether dolphins or sharks are more aggravating. I tend to lean more towards dolphins being worse because at least I can catch sharks and legally eat them. They drive you crazy, but they are cool. They are fascinating critters. Let's see. John says, let's see. Wow, now I get it. If I was only as smart as your guest, I would then know what my beliefs are. I don't think of myself as a diehard Trump fan, but have you ever seen the hat that says Trump was right? There have been times when I did not see the point or where he was going, but later realized he was right. Yeah, and on things, I've seen some things. I don't know that there's been anything that I didn't see where he's going. And then it landed, and I was like, aha. I told you, and the problem with, I guess, where I am is I come in as a conservative, not a populist, right? And that's why I say 80% of the time, and I'm happy he's president, and 80% of the time, I'm happy with what he's done. But there are, I'm not going to sit and say that, and John, if you're talking about maybe like the Epstein thing, I don't believe he's playing 5D chess. I don't think he's a pedophile. I don't think that. But it's like, what other pressures are out there? And Lord knows there's enough theories out there. But what other pressures are out there to make it worth the loss of political capital that this comes from? And then to have like Mark Levin or somebody come out and chastise that if you're interested in the Epstein stuff, if you're interested in this, then you're paying no attention to what DNI Gabbard came out with. No, both. I'm both. Like that I don't, can't be many people fall for that and go, oh, I'm sorry. I guess because I'm interested in this other thing that I think it's okay. It's coming out that Obama operatives were wanting to do here. No, you can do both things. I think I can. All right, coming right back, Erica Thomas from 1819 News joins us.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and talk inventory with me. How's it looking?
Good, Sean. We bought a few this week. We got a Ford Explorer came in just a minute ago, 2018, I believe. We got an 18 Tahoe, 14 Tahoe. We got a Lexus a GS 350, which is the little bigger body, 2014. Really good looking car. It's a blue. So we've got some, and two or three other pieces that have come in. I just can't think off the top of my head, but we've got some good inventories come in, plus what we already had, you know?
Yeah, which was a bunch. If people want to check those out, I mean, the best thing to do, come see you in person to give us directions, but people can also do that online, and from the comfort of their office, they can.
They can. We've got everything's mostly got pictures. There's a few more pictures we got to do. We'll do those this afternoon. LCMMotorCars.com. You can check those pictures out, and if Carfax is on there, it's absolutely free. Click on the Carfax, you can see the history, and you'll know exactly, you know, what we're looking at when we buy the car. If you want to come see them in person, we're at 5711 Highway 90. It's 1 mile south of I-10, exit 15A on the corner of Plantation and 90. Or just give us a call, 251-375-0068.
Thank you, David.
Have a good day, bud.
You too. David McCrary checking in from LCM Motor Cars. All right, let's do this without further ado. Your friend and mine, Erica Thomas from 1819news.com. Hello, Erica.
Howdy, Sean.
Hey, and by the way, thank you for the shout-outs. I got when you were on with April Marie yesterday. I heard that. I was in the office there. I said, well, thank you.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, you know, it was a last-minute thing. She called and she was like, hey, I want you to be on Jeff's show with me. And so I said, okay. You know, no problem. We really enjoyed talking, and we're actually thinking we probably need our own show, and we've already got a name for it.
Excellent. All right, and it is what?
Missy and Prissy.
Okay.
The Missy and Prissy Show. So April Marie's parents used to call her Missy when she was a kid, and my parents called me Miss Priss. So we figured it would be a really great idea to call it Missy and Prissy, Talks Alabama.
Okay. When are we debuting? Are we doing like a pilot or something for us to listen to?
I think we did yesterday. So you can go on the website, on your website, and find that podcast. Go back and listen to it and hear us. We started out pretty lighthearted, just talking about small little things going on with us. And then we really got into the nitty gritty on this Orange Beach mayoral debate, which is now less than a week away. So I've really been getting ready for that, preparing for it. It's going to be a huge event, and I'm really excited to see all the people come out and get to hear what these two candidates have to say over here.
But you get the alpha to the omega in that for sure. So let's talk about the upcoming, because it is municipal election season. I tell everybody, not only we focus a week from tomorrow, we'll have our debate with the Mobile mayoral candidates going on, but these races are going on in cities and towns all over Alabama. So, somewhere where you live, y'all, there's something to pay attention to in South Baldwin. It seems like a lot of attention. Did I hear you say that y'all are full? I mean, you maxed out the capacity at this event?
Oh, yeah. So the crazy thing is when we started planning it, I was thinking 175 to 200 people.
Mm-hmm.
We'll rent the small space at the Orange Beach Event Center. Should be good. Well, that blew up overnight. Just in a couple hours, it sold out. So that was over 700 people. And then we expanded it to 1,000, sold out, expanded it to 1,100. We're like, we're getting a little bit crazy now because that place only holds 2,000 people. Now we are around 1,500, and we are not going to expand it to 2,000. That's just too much for us to handle. But the good thing about it is we will have the entire thing. We will video it. And that video will be posted very shortly after the debate. So everybody will get to see it for free. Tickets were free. We just needed everybody to get a ticket so we would know what we were facing. And thank goodness we did that because, the reaction to this has been outrageous. I mean, people are so into this mayoral race. I've never seen anything like it. And I've covered elections statewide. I was in TV for a long time, and I produced those election coverage specials, even the presidential election, when you would see those returns coming in. I was producing those, worked alongside Paul DeMarco, and I was at Fox 6 when I was doing that in Birmingham. But I've never seen anyone, any town or city get so ready for this race. And Orange Beach is not even that large when it comes to people who actually live there, with the residents, the voters.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because Orange Beach is like 9,000 people, whatever, 8,000 or 9,000 people. You got 1,500 coming in. I'm sure the math whizzes out there can do it, but we're looking at 15 to 20% of the population. Showing up in a debate? I mean, I've never seen anything like that. I've moderated these things at a congressional level, and if we had 300 people in the audience, that was a big deal.
Exactly. And we've done that, with Jeff Poore during the congressional race. We did a debate in Daphne, and there wasn't that many people. So this just goes to show you that this race is hot, 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 and I'm expecting some really good voter turnout for a municipal election.
Yeah. Then we have an issue, y'all. If they've filled this up for the debate and then the turnout is some of this anemic stuff we've seen, then there's something weird. Then people just come out but don't go vote. I mean, y'all think about that. So, and somebody probably will tell me Orange Beach, 8,000 or 9,000 people, something like that. 1,500 people at the debate. That's some record setting stuff.
Yeah, there's actually people saying they're going to tailgate at the debate.
Well, they're nerds.
Which is crazy. I know, but, I was at 10 Top eating on a Sunday with my cousin. And it was my server brought it up, and she was the one saying, and she's a really cool, she's a cool cat for sure. I mean, I would love to go tailgate with her at this debate. Unfortunately, I will have to be ready to, manage what's going on and make sure things don't get out of control. I'm really looking forward to being the person with the stopwatch to tell everybody to stop talking, because that's going to be a challenge for me to ask Tony Kinnon and Jeff Boyd to stop talking. They're both very, very passionate. They're both very, very passionate about the city. And I think that says a lot about Orange Beach. You know, they have these options for a mayor of either way, you know that they care. And so, wow, congratulations, Orange Beach, because I do have to say I haven't seen such great candidates that are talked about so much and are just so interesting. Both of them are very interesting characters. And I think that's why people want to come to this debate. It's almost like a sideshow to the election. You know, this is a show. This is a big production. And we are really looking forward to giving that to the people of Orange Beach.
Let's keep it here for our second story in South Baldwin. So across the line there to the west over in Gulf Shores, this story's been discussed a good bit on the station today already. It's text messages between, you're right, a Fox 10 investigation in Gulf Shores recently revealed text messages between city and school officials and Rayburn Construction following the immigration raid on the construction site at Gulf Shores High School. Public records request was also made for similar communications from Baldwin County schools, but reporters were denied access. So what gives here?
Well, this is that Fox 10 reporter, Natalie Williams, that I talk about in the story. And I actually emailed her last night, and I was like, really great work. You know, she did a really good investigation on this. She's been in contact with the federal officials. She hasn't been able to do an interview with Rayburn Construction, which I was able to do. So we kind of, if you put our reporting together, you kind of get a full picture of what's going on here. And I thought she did a really great job. So I wanted to link the story on 1819 News. So she asked for these text communications, and what she got was between Gulf Shores Board of Education President Kevin Corcoran, Superintendent Matt Aiken, and the public affairs guy for Gulf Shores, Blake Phelps. And that one, it wasn't really groundbreaking, you know. I mean, there was an explicit word in there, but, you know, just nothing real, real interesting other than he was asking for Homeland Security to fix their press release because he said, this isn't even BOE property. This isn't Gulf Shores High School. It's a construction site. Well, and that was the Board of Education president. He said that, but you know, that's really not that big of a deal. It is Gulf Shores High School. It is the construction site of the new Gulf Shores High School. So I think that was a little bit, who cares about that? I thought the interesting part about this story is that she sent almost the exact same public records request to Baldwin County Public Schools, and shocker, they're not going to cooperate with this.
Huh.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is just another example. You know, I have done public records requests to the Baldwin County school system, and I've gotten a lot of my requests fulfilled. When you have two entities, the exact same situation, and one of them complies and the other one doesn't, it makes you ask why. You know, why aren't y'all being transparent? These are public information materials. I mean, anytime you, like a text or email with a public phone or computer, that's typically a public record. Now, obviously, there are some things that would void that, such as if there's a criminal investigation ongoing, or if that information contains sensitive information, or something that could impede a process, so to speak.
Yeah, I mean, they have to give it to you unless they say that it's, what is it, the old may or shall? They shall, but unless they say why they can't, right? Am I
right? And so I would like to know what that reason was. I don't know what that is, but I do know that Fox 10 has employed their attorneys to go after this. And like Natalie Williams said, they're going to keep pushing for transparency. And I think that's important. You know, I have had some, like I said, some of my public records requests from the school system have been honored, and I've been very shocked and thankful for that. So, I mean, there are times where they're transparent, but we've already seen around all of this situation that the school system went through the last few months that there were contradicting things they would say, and they obviously were not completely upfront when the media asked him about a contractor that the Board of Education hired, and there's just been some strange things. And I'm sure if you live in Baldwin County, you've heard about all this. There's now a transparency Facebook page, and I mean, it's just been a really big talker, and this is going to add fuel to the fire.
You can read more of that, of course, over at 1819news.com. Also, people want to get more on a story or give you, because people will text me. They're like, tell Erica this, that. Well, they can tell you. They can email you with news story ideas or more information.
Yeah, you can go to our website, 1819news.com, and you can see my name on one of my stories. You can click on my name, and at the bottom of the email will be my email address. And you can also email news at 1819news.com to get in touch with all of us.
Great stuff, Erica. Thank you for your reporting. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you. God bless.
All right, there goes Erica. We'll come right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:53, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Phone number and the text line, Noah, love them. They're the same, 343-0106, 343-0106. Segment of the show brought to you by my man Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Yeah, you know, we talk about this a bunch, about the e-bikes and the and what does he call them, the Amish bikes. And let me talk about the fact that those bikes, the electric bike like I ride that I love, and he has a great selection and summer sale going on right now, and the non-electric bikes, 400 in stock, from on-road bikes to gravel bikes to mountain bikes to kids bikes to tricycles-type bikes, all beach bikes, he's got them all in stock. All those things fall under, and the great, you know, carriers for your bikes and helmets and panniers and all the stuff that goes on it. It's all under one roof that is a local business. A local business and a guy that, before he even opened this business, this was his thing. This was his, what the kids say, this was his jam. He was into this. And he's just lives this stuff. And to see him build this business and be successful with it is fantastic. And what's great, too, is the throwback is there. The throwback to the old days. Kid, I grew up in the 80s. You know, there were bike shops kind of all around. You needed to go get repairs done or a tune-up done. Or like we'd go and, you know, look for a new seat or a new set of handlebars or those kind of things at a bike shop. Those stores are, well, a thing of the 80s in a lot of cases. But a place like Adventure Earth Bicycles, still a local bike shop, does the service work. That, you know, when you buy a bike from there, it's put together. And put together properly. And everything's tuned up, not bike in a box. So if you're looking for an e-bike, they got a great selection. Regular, non-electric bike, they got them. Kids' bikes, men's, women's, beach bike, all that. They've got all that, but also know it comes under a roof of a guy that this is his thing. He knows this stuff inside and out. And so it's a great place to buy your bike, get the bike work done, get the accessories, and get that great advice. They're online at adventure-earth.com, but most fun, come on, go see them in person at the corner of Airport and Little Flower in Midtown. Adventure Earth Bicycles, everything inside to get you outside. All right, to the text line here, again, I'm trying to get a few of these read, and then we'll come back to this next hour. Sean says, tariffs are hurting the availability of my Chinese vapes. I'm going to have to get on the Zen train. Come on, get on that Zinfandel. You know, you probably, I don't know how much you were vaping. You probably wanted to come in on the sixes. Probably 6 milligrams, although you may come in on threes. I mean, the best thing here is to not do any of it. But if you're going to be on one, Zen, threes or sixes. I got some stuff that my buddy Jonathan McConnell brought me from, like, I think he bought it in Singapore or something like that. Y'all, it's like 50-something milligrams. It's a decorative piece. I'm not touching it, but I've got that. If anybody's really hurting, it's like a 50-milligram, you know, pouch. Yeah, scares me. And Sean also wants to say it's Israel. It's always been. They control this administration. And that's one of the theories, right? I hear that stuff. I hear all the different conspiracy theories that come from the, hey, don't pay attention to the Epstein stuff. You know how you could solve that is just, be transparent. Chris, I want to know about the Gulf Shores story. Yeah, That's up at 1819news.com. Squirrel Vereen offering, by the way, Erica, if you're listening, Squirrel Vereen says he is at the construction site, can send you some pictures. He's also a proponent of this show with April Marie and Erica Thomas. Should have a show. Okay, listen, we'll find a... Y'all ready for the... What is it? The Prismas, Missy Prissy show? Let me know. Let me know. And then, let's see. This unnamed texter says... Yeah, this came up. We're talking about e-bikes. And said, Alabama State Park says no motorized vehicles on the Hugh Brannion Trail. So what are the mayoral candidates going to do about the e-bikes running the trail at 25 to 35 miles an hour? Or are they going to wait for someone to get hurt and the city and state park get sued? A trail user. So, and that's one of the things that on the e-bikes, it's like you do need to check. And I've talked about how I use my e-bike and riding, you know, I ride off-road with it. I got plans to use it as a canoe shuttle. We're trying to get a canoe trip planned to use it as a canoe shuttle. But yeah, there's a lot of trails you better check that you you might not be able to ride the e-bike on. But there's some places you can, some places you can't. Maybe Jeff will see that question texter and he can ask that. I would love nothing more than to hear Jeff and all the political questions and get into an e-bike question. Jeff, if you're listening on your way back home, check out the text line. Maybe a question for your debate. I'm moderating the one that comes up a week from tomorrow for the Mobile mayoral candidates. I could ask them the same thing, but if I get an answer. All right, hour number two coming up next.